Welcome, everybody. I appreciate again everyone being on time. I give you my peace. Father and I spoke on Wednesday, and he said, "My dear Team Triland, first of all, I would like to share with you that my son has finally met the woman of his dreams. If you have been paying attention, the name Starlight was placed after Lauren's name in many of the emails sent out recently. Yes, she is Starlight. I can tell you that I have already given her many responsibilities. The biggest one to date is all of eternity. I have removed that from my son and have given that to Starlight. She will take care of them. Triland will love and care for mankind in the flesh.
Triland, we're only hearing
every other word. All right, hang on. Can you hear me now?
Skipping. We're only hearing. Is it only my phone or is everybody else?
I think it's, no, I think it's just yours.
It's just you,
it's
like
just
every
you
word. You have to speak a little, like.
Just keep, yeah.
See if you, like, say a sentence.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
we can hear
me?
You.
Hello, I hear you.
All right. John, it might be your headset.
Maybe just say a whole sentence, because you...
All right. My dear Team Triland, first of all, I would like to share with you that my son has finally met the woman of his dreams. Everybody got that?
My headset?
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody else is hearing me okay?
Yes, we heard that.
Okay. All right, I'm going to rewind.
Okay, all right.
All right. My dear Team Triland, first of all, I would like to share with you that my son has finally met the woman of his dreams. If you have been paying attention, the name Starlight was placed after Lauren's name in many of the emails sent out recently. Yes, she is Starlight. I can tell you that I have already given her many responsibilities. The biggest one to date is all of eternity. I have removed that from my son and have given it to Starlight. She will take care of them. Triland will love and care for mankind in the flesh, and Starlight will love and care for mankind in the spirit. She has been given keys to hell and death as well. She has already begun to work closely with the Chief Apostle Streckeisen and Peter Ryback. She will be taken into realms that no brother or sister has ever been allowed to enter into and teach. I have also unlocked many gifts that she will only be using in eternity. Her responsibilities will also include becoming the second in command of the team. All right, did you call in on John's line? Did you guys call in? Crisis. Hello, anybody else?
Yeah,
I'm here. You guys can hear me?
She's called through my phone.
Well, that's probably why you guys can't hear me, so maybe you guys should hang up, call back in, and we'll wait.
All right, let me try again. Sorry.
Should I hang up and then...
dial me first. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Good old technology.
Gotta love it.
Well, it beats writing letters. That's true.
Hey, Charlie, and maybe too, while you're going through just Father's letter, if everybody could put themselves on mute. I don't know if that's okay with you. It may help the rest of us here.
I can actually mute all of you.
Okay. Wait, Father gave you that power already?
He sure did. Silence at most. Silence. She has been given the keys to hell and death as well. She has already begun to work closely with the Chief Apostle Strekeisen and Peter Ryback. She will be taken into realms that no brother or sister has ever been allowed to enter into and teach. I have also unlocked many gifts that she will only use in eternity. Her responsibility will also include becoming the second in command of the team. My son sent out a team structure. Please review it. These two will share a love that no other two human beings will ever share. When people see them together, they will see the love that they share because it is pure. It is born out of my heart. Oh, by the way, have I ever in the past talked about my son's helpmate? I have not, because up until now, Starlight never existed. My plan is now going to move forward rapidly. My son's announcement will happen in June 2017. We all have a year now to prepare and ready our hearts for all the changes that will take place. All of you will be put into a managerial position in time. You will also be called from this point forward Chief Guardians. In time, other guardians will be added, and they will report to you. The Corps is the only group that will be referred to as Chief Guardians. I appreciate how all of you have accepted many changes in the past. The three tasks I gave to my son will never change. I need all of you to stand strong on these three tasks. Understand the Apostles' doctrine. You will be defending it. I give all of you a special peace and strength now. I know that many of you have been struggling with financial, family, and health issues. I will change these situations in the coming days, and you will all feel secure within all of these areas. I will also ask one more thing of all of you. For many years, I have told my son to remain silent, to never defend himself, and to just suffer quietly against the harm that mankind speaks against him. If you are approached or hear of someone slandering my son, I would ask all of you to step up and defend him. Never will you proclaim him as my second son. I speak of the horrible rumors that are about him. Please set these souls straight, because in time they will answer to me for all that they say against him. I am just, righteous, and yet a forgiving God. My love does not change because someone speaks ill of another. I wish everyone would actually see my son and all of you the way that I see you, and in time they will. Now stay the course, and as always, know how much I love and support you. I will now unmute all of you. 1 second. It's done manually. Does anyone have any questions about Father's address?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Woohoo!
Did I'm sitting get that in Starlight's right? living room. What's that?
Did I get that right, Charlie? You said we're not supposed to proclaim you as the second son of God, but we are supposed to back you up. Is that what Father said?
That is exactly what he said. He wants you just to defend me. The rumors that are going
as
around.
Jim Ryback.
Correct. That I don't do any of the horrible things that the people are saying I do. Because he doesn't want, it's not your place to proclaim me. That's going to be the chief apostle's job.
Okay.
And I'll just preface it with this. None of this is about me, yet everybody in the area that I'm currently sitting in, Kalamazoo, seems to think I always make it about me. It's about Father. That's what this team is here. It's about the Bride of Christ. That is what we're supposed to do. If somebody asks you, well, Jim says he's a second son of God. Well, don't lie. Say yes, but maybe you want to talk to him about it. Then you're done. Deflect it. Say maybe you want to ask him about it. Don't get into an argument with anybody. That's not what we're here. But I don't think anybody has the, forgive me for saying this, testicle fortitude to actually bring that up. So,
wait, are you saying that we can't use the confrontational right fighters on this team can't confrontationally right fight with someone who wants to talk negatively about you. Is that what you're telling me?
Brilliant. Stand down.
Okay. Just wanting to know what my clear orders are, because I'm kind of looking forward to that part. But
no, not yet. Down the road, you'll have that opportunity after I'm announced.
So I shouldn't sharpen my sword, then. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sharpen your sword. Correct. Never lick it, though.
When you do talk to people, make sure it's purposeful. And
correct.
Do it with tact and integrity, because you don't want to make yourself look like you're going off half-cocked about things. I've had to put myself into check myself about it and just make sure I'm being purposeful about it and not being emotional and erratic.
Starline, I would like to say that I pledge my sword to you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I just want to ask, and you can answer this to yourself. You don't have to answer it out loud. If you did not listen to the Lady Duo recording, I would encourage you to do so. It is posted. That would be the last encounter that the two guardians had trying to help Tom. It's full of a lot of information. I need everybody to make sure they're up to speed with that. Tranquility, would you be willing to share any information about Tom at this point?
Yes. I would say overall, he is making progress. He still has his struggles. I was thinking about it today. I think I could kind of relate it to someone that's been in a coma for a while, and then they wake up after many years, and things are quite different. And so especially when you think about how much things have changed within the church, it's an eye-opener for him, you know, how the pendulum has swung from one extreme to the other. And so Brilliance was saying, after she had done the healing, you know, that Tom should find out what Father's plan is for him. And so that's what I've been praying every day, that he'll show us what his plan is and that Tom can become aware of it. But overall, I'd say he's doing a lot better. He still has his hiccups, and I still have a feeling that we haven't peeled all the layers off yet, but definitely I can see progress for sure.
Thank you. Q, would you like to update everybody on your house? Q?
I'm sorry, I was Uh-oh. Muted and my phone turned off, so I had to turn it back on.
Okay.
I am happy and thankful to tell everybody that we accepted an offer for our house, and
yay.
It was a good one, and we have tendered an offer that was accepted, and so the dates at this point in time are we will close on this house on the 24th of June. On the 28th of June, we close on the next place, our new place in Holland, and we'll have possession July 11th, and it will probably will take that week to move in. So on Saturday, July 16th, we'll be moving into our house.
Congratulations!
Thank you, Congrats. Thank you, thank you.
Yay.
If you need help moving, my number is not listed.
Yeah,
I think that's what I'm saying. My number's unlisted.
We will all pray for you, for your strength.
Yes, thank you.
I'll help in spirit.
Thank you. Hey, and while I all still have the floor, I would like to share some really awesome news. I have been given just an unbelievable opportunity that on Father's Day, I can give Kirk and Katie and Derek and Lauren their engagement blessings.
Wonderful.
Okay. And we're all going to be together in Holland. I'm holding the service right. and giving them the blessing. And it is such a beautiful Father's Day. I look forward to it. But please remember me.
We sure will. Uh, Okay. I wanted to share with the team that Trisus and I will be moving in 2 weeks. We broke our lease at the place we're at, and we'll be moving to a different location, we hope.
Yeah.
We found a standalone house. We put in an application. We're waiting for them to approve us. And then the only day that I could find a mover was the 24th of June. So, Father willing, everything will fall into place, and he and I will move into this place, and we should have peace for the first time in a number of years. So,
oh, that's good. I've been praying for that every day.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good news.
Thank you. The last time that Starlight was in town, she gave Trisus a healing. I believe Nucleos is going to give him one tomorrow night. Aerostar has already given him one as well, which I believe leaves only Q and Luminance left then that need to give him healings, and then the 12th Guardian once he's in place. Trisus, do you want to share anything with the team as far as you, your health, anything you want to share?
Let me put you this way without sounding negative. I'm at where I was back basically in December. So I healed from the surgery. You know, I feel better overall. Am I where I want to be? Not really, but the healings are going to progress. I ask for your continued prayers. I'm really struggling with the whole concept of trying not to be handicapped. I've reached a roadblock in my understanding of what Father has for me for a future, and I'm having difficulty believing that I'm going to be healed, and I don't know how else to put it. I'm just going to be real with everybody. So, every day is still a struggle, but I'm trying. I'm hoping, and I'm praying that I can get that little bit of faith back that I held on to for all these years, because it's gone. So, that's where I am. So I'm hoping the next couple of healings will somehow restore that back in, you know, and we'll be able to continue on and do what Father has for us to do. So thank you.
So if everybody please remember him, we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk briefly about the dailies. I want to make sure everybody understands why we do them, what we do, and if anybody has any questions about them, you can bring it up right now. It's important that your space is protected. We all now have that waterfall that pours on us. You can regulate it. I have charged my lead with the responsibility that if I forget to turn it off or turn it down at night, that she'll do it for me, because sometimes I wake up after going to sleep for 2 hours and I'm wide awake and I'm going, what's going on? And then I remember, oh yeah, I got to turn down my waterfall. So she'll take care of that for me. Does anybody have any questions?
That was a helpful tip right there, though.
That was just an answer. Absolutely. I've been wondering why in the heck I'm not sleeping. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Something new for all of us to contend with. Yeah, so tell your lead to take care of that for you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay.
I got a question just in general. I have one question.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's not about the waterfall. It's if we feel like we're dealing with somebody that is not like we feel like there's something in their space, or they're being nasty and it's not really them. I have in the past tried to just go and be in their space or be wherever they are and try to kill it. I'm now just commanding that be taken care of, to kill what's in their space. That's correct, right? That I shouldn't try to go myself, just command my angels to take care of it, whatever, bind and sweep, yada, yada, yada. We do all the steps, right?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
If you guys are too tired or it's too distracting for you and you don't feel you have the focus, then yes, ask your lead to send a team to take care of it.
Okay.
Because we know that they're there to pick on us and poke us in the eye, proverbially. So yes, no, that's fine.
Yeah, because it's just lately I'm picking up more and more this nastiness, and for lack of a better word, nastiness. There's no reason, and it's just like, go take care of that, because I'm in the middle of doing something, either naturally or spiritually, and it's just like, I can't. Do two things at once. So I just wanted to make sure that I'm not being lazy, so to speak.
This time you are not.
Okay.
Right, so I have a question for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you talking about like another human being approaching you with nastiness?
Yes.
Or is it?
I deal with people all day at work. So I'm always in a situation where I'm having to deal with someone else's energy. So I work remotely. So as I'm dealing with that particular company or person, I'm feeling this rage, and it's not me. I mean, I have my own. I can feel my own rage sometimes, or my own angst, or my own nervousness. But I'm feeling more and more of this external blah, and it's just, I'm thinking, well, why do I have to deal with that? Go take care of that for me. You know what I mean? It's like our jobs are hard enough physically and mentally and spiritually. Why do I need that other person's nastiness in my space? So I've been telling a team, I'm actually asking for forgiveness after the fact of actually doing it for a while. So, because I've been dispatching a team like, go take care of that.
No, the reason I asked if it was, you know, something that was coming into your space, because I too, over the last couple of weeks, have felt like angst and anger and nastiness in this world. And then when I woke up and heard what had happened in Orlando and stuff like that, like, we feel that. And so I wanted to, when it comes to, and again, this is just something that worked for me, and I was thinking about it, despite the fact that I'm a confrontational right fighter and almost can't wait for someone to try to talk trash about anyone on this team, because I can't wait to have that conversation. One of the things that I do to just shop people is to simply ask them a question. And kind of a non-confrontational question, believe it or not. Because I find that sometimes when people come at us with a certain energy, let's be clear, if they're coming at us all nasty, and I envision this, no one's ever said anything bad about my teammates to me yet. But I, have prayed about this, and if someone were to come after me, to talk to me about somebody on this team, and specifically, Triland, I've prayed about this, and I feel like the situation's going to be where that person has had a long time to think about it, to have Satan, add thoughts and stuff. So one of the most unfair things when someone comes at you with a bunch of energy is they've had the luxury of contemplating and thinking about this and, allowing Satan to mull over these ideas, these thoughts, and you have literally 5 seconds, this energy is coming at you to prepare for it or to even understand it and metabolize it. So I found it useful to sometimes ask somebody a question, and it gives, for 3 reasons. One, oftentimes that person doesn't even realize that they're coming at me with that kind of energy, because the way someone treats me or talks to me is more of a reflection of what's going on inside them than anything to do about me. The second reason I found asking these questions useful is it helps to clarify where that person's coming from, especially if they're coming with a lot of energy, making sure they're communicating to me exactly what they want to communicate, because, again, being a confrontational right fighter, I want to make sure I completely understand that person's position before, engaging. But most importantly, in that moment of asking them a question, and I can give you some examples, offline if you're interested, is that it gives me my energy, my space, my soul a few extra seconds to prepare and metabolize and slow and control the momentum of that conversation. It almost pushes the momentum. It keeps the momentum from bowling you over, because you're giving that an out, like you're asking that person now to think about something, because when they came at you, they had one thing in mind. And by asking mm-hmm. them a question, you're almost tricking their brain, like, wait a minute, I got to metabolize this question, and I have to answer now. And so that bit of change in emotion has been very helpful for me.
I like that.
And that's a great tip. What my problem is, I'm feeling it. I don't even have a chance to talk to them. This is just the energy in the situation, or I do tax research. So a lot of what happens is there's huge amounts of money that is owed. So when I click on a case, I'm getting the raw emotion and energy, and I feel the rage and everything that was put into that email or fax thrown at my company, and it's been assigned to me. I feel that like a wave after wave after wave. And that's a great tip. I'll use that when I'm talking to somebody, but it's almost like I'll set up different safeguards. So I get what you're saying, but I'm getting it at a different level that I never thought. I'm just getting energy rage. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm getting the emotional nonsense that was attached to that email.
No, that makes sense. No, it makes sense.
When I open it, it's like, boom.
Yeah. Trilend,
just pog your email server. Done.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask Trilend. Are we rose bush on our phones and our computers? And I do it to my TV. So like, I'm not one of those people. Yeah.
Well, I used to do that, and we started having huge problems with the server and the software not working, so I'm not pogging anymore.
Yeah.
What about, you know, okay. one of the things that I do, because sometimes when I have family, you know, spend the night, they'll leave the TV on all night, and I'm not a big fan of allowing anything and any energy coming into my house. So I've asked anyone who spends the night at my house and watches TV to please put a timer on, and I've explained to them exactly why, because once you fall asleep, you are no longer in charge of what energy comes into my house, and I do a lot of work to make sure that the right energy is maintained. But, you know, you always have an overnight guest who forgets or doesn't know how to use the remote. So, interestingly enough, I've wrapped my TVs around in rose bushes. And
okay.
So much so that if I'm watching a movie that I'm a softie, like anyone taking advantage of anybody or someone getting hurt, like brings me to tears. I can't even watch that kind of stuff. But by rosebushing my television set, for lack of a better word, I find that I'm not as effective.
I do the same thing.
Okay.
I rosebush our TV because you have ads that come up during TV shows that you're watching, and you're just like, holy crap, they're even allowing that as an ad. So there's things that come up all the time that I'm like, well, I'm glad the rosebush is up because it really stops a lot of crap coming through. I'm not sure if that'll help.
Okay. I can do that. I'll try it because pogging was destroying stuff. I don't know how else to describe it. But
you have a
after I would
pog.
Get so angry and pog everything, we'd have system errors like for hours. And I finally, after Triland blew out the streetlight, it dawned on me we're very powerful. So.
At least you know it's still working. Your pog's still working.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but I like that idea, rose bushing the actual object. We'll do that next. Thank you.
To combat all of this, I would encourage all of you to ground your pog shield. Because then anything that's thrown at you will be grounding out and it won't come into your space. You can pog yourself with your ground. You can ground your pog shield. And then if you want even more protection, then I know Trisys works from home. Put a pog shield around your office, ground it to the center of the earth. People can do that with their own cubicles.
Ah,
you can do it with your entire house. This is the gift that Father's given us. But if you don't ground your pog shield, then it doesn't go anywhere. So I've been doing that for the past month. I've been waiting for the meeting to share that with everyone. So there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
How timely. Thank you.
Very. I would like to share a little information with Starlight's responsibilities. Because she's taken over Eternity, I've handed over to her the Daily Liberations process, which is 10 million rounds a day. I found out today that she'll actually be working with the disc evangelist George Heidema, who recently passed into eternity a couple weeks ago. Father said he's using him because he is the grand testifier, and she'll also be working with some of my kids as well. She's been given a pendant from Father to wear around her neck, which will illuminate her path. She's been assigned a special group of elite angels to protect her physically. They switched guard about a month ago. She's also going to be assigned a special group of angels that will protect her consciousness while she's in eternity. And she also was given today a sword that actually illuminates in front of her. So I would ask everyone to please pray for her, because she's going to be working in realms that no other human being has ever had access to. And when Father shared this information with me, I kind of looked at him and he went, "She will be safe. Okay, fine." The difference that's going to take place is usually the liberations take place at 12 noon my time and midnight my time. The midnight my time will still stay in place, but what's going to happen or change is because she's going to be an integral part of this plan in eternity. I hand it over to her that when she meditates, whatever time she meditates during the day or the afternoon, she'll meet up with the chief apostle, Streckeisen, and then the two of them will decide what realms. Well, he will. He'll let her know, and then she will be the one who actually kicks off the second liberation that takes place during that day. And then I also told her, I said, "Well, I don't expect you to meditate every day." I said, "So on the days that you don't, then they'll take care of it at 12 noon, my time." But it's a huge responsibility, and Father's now even opening up more of our understanding, because I wasn't even aware that there are realms that none of our brothers and sisters have ever infiltrated or even had the opportunity to go into, and it's because of how dark they are, how evil they are, that Father's been waiting for starlight. So her name bears a reason as to why he's called her that. She will illuminate those realms with that light. She will help to protect and testify to those brothers and sisters, and she'll bring them out. My dad already works in one of those realms. We know it's called the Millennia. And then Starlight shared with me that for the past couple weeks, she's actually been praying for all those that are in darkness that are lost and alone, because she went through her own period of time where she felt that, so she can relate to them. So if you'd be so kind to remember her and her new responsibility, it is not an easy task. For me, I'm ecstatic, because I have less that I have to do, and I thanked Father greatly for that. So I had the opportunity to be at Bob Blackport's funeral. Our friend Bob passed away last week. He was the one that was dying from pancreatic cancer. He is the cousin and half-brother to Q. And while I was in the service, the minister made the point, which he prayed the prayer that kind of irritates me, and it's shorten the time and send your son soon. And Father was at this funeral, which he doesn't normally come to funerals. And the three of them, HS and Jesus, and he pointed at me. And I looked at him and I said, "What are you pointing at me for?" And he goes, "Boy, you're my son and I'm sending you soon." He goes, "They just do not know that they're praying for the wrong son." I said, "Okay, that's funny." So I said, "Okay, whatever you want." So I shall share that with you.
That's great news. Speaking, and then we have a lot of new apostolics that are praying for you. That makes me super happy.
Mm-hmm. And that's why Father kind of chuckled to himself. They've been praying for you and they're not even aware of it. So I'm
glad you shared that, because that's quite irritating and distracting to me in a service, and it will no longer be distracting and irritating. So thank you.
No, that's what I said too. I mean, because it just grains me when I hear that. And that's when Father brought that to my attention. So they are praying for me, and I need those prayers. Speaking of the congregation we were in, which is the Portage congregation, for some time now, this congregation that was conceived out of the merger of four other congregations, they have currently become a circus and a Starbucks. And when Starlight and I were together for the first time at service, Father actually showed up, and I said, "Why are you here?" And he said, "Because nothing's going to interfere with my son and his helpmate's first service." He said, "So there will be peace." And the ironic thing is, you could have heard a pin drop the entire service, which has never happened in this congregation. Because of the turmoil that's taking place in this congregation, I assigned to Starlight and Atmos the responsibility to find out what is going on with it and fix it. So Starlight and Atmos had been talking about teaming up together this past week and then going there together to solve the problem. Well, because Atmos's wife is related to Bobby, they had a lot of other things to distract them. And then I got the impression that these things needed to be taken care of before the funeral took place on Friday, and I didn't want to say anything to Starlight because she's been, you know, kind of put on the fast track, and Father's been overwhelming her with new responsibilities, so I was waiting for her to get an impression, and she actually texted me on Thursday and said, I got the impression that I shouldn't wait for Atmos, that I should go do this on my own, and I said, that is correct. Please take the 10 archangels with you, which she did, and then I asked her if she'd be kind to share with everybody what took place in this congregation, because I don't believe this situation has ever happened in any other congregation, and it's very unique, and I want us all to learn from this experience. So, Starlight, please share.
So, previous to this, Atmos and I had been talking and trying to figure out what exactly was going on, and we had talked and we had figured out that there were souls that were still in the church. And when we first got the church building, Atmos had gone through and cleared it all out. But we have the impression that when there was the construction and things going on with the church, that it ended up actually shaking up some things. And so the church had been filled with hundreds and hundreds of souls, and it has been that way, and it's been causing chaos inside of the church. And the only way you can describe it, if you've ever been there, is that it's a circus. Nobody is settled. There is no peace during service. People, they've just been acting just ridiculous, actually, is the only way that you can put it. So when all of us were together, I actually went and just Atmos has two angels there, so I went to talk to the angels to find out what was going on, and I actually was kind of looking around the church, and there were souls there. So on Thursday, I took my team and the archangels with me, and we actually all met out in the parking lot, and we were discussing basically that we needed to, I had the church surrounded, and basically we needed to get all of the souls and get them into the sanctuary. And so once we were able to do that, we basically just went in and stormed the place. It was like, it's hard to explain, but we were doing it kindly, but at the same time, that because there were so many souls and there, and it was such an array of emotion, and all the souls are in different places, and some just, you know, were fine with, you know, being moved into the sanctuary. Some were just completely unruly. There were some that were just completely out of control. It was just, it was all over the spectrum. So there were even souls outside of the church. We went through every inch of the place. We went room by room. We were in the basement. We were up in the attic area. We went everywhere. And so there were so many souls, and they did not want to be in the sanctuary, that at one point I actually had to have a team of angels basically like hold the door shut so everyone would be in the sanctuary. At that point, Jesus is actually there, and it was rather interesting because he was standing there, and he had said, and I was kind of taken back by this, he had explained who he was, and then he said that he was bringing his Father's peace and love. And at that point, the souls actually calmed down a little bit, but then he had to explain who he was because there were souls there that had no idea even who he was or who our Father is. So at that point, it was turned over to me, and Jesus, you know, kind of just stepped back. And afterward, the impression was that he was kind of there just, you know, checking things out and seeing what was going on. But so I explained who I was and what was going to happen, because they were going to be taken into eternity. There were angels that were coming. I explained about the service for the departed and explained all that, you know, how they could move, you know, different realms and where they would be and what was going to happen. So There was so much that was going on in there. I explained who the archangels were. I explained how Amos and I were the guardians of the church, and that this wasn't going to be a resting ground for them, that they were going to leave and that they needed to go. That this was Father's house and it is a place of peace, and this is what we're going to have here. After going through and talking with them, and it was done out of love, and the conversation was that I had with them was done out of love, but at the same time, there were some of the souls, they just didn't want to hear what was taking place and what was going on. So I had assumed that there was only going to be a couple angels, and I guess I shouldn't assume anything, but it was very interesting because there were so many angels that were coming, and they were taking groups of the souls. And my impression was that the angels were taking different groups of souls so they could go into different realms. And they were taking them to specific realms in there. And so now, now the church has a totally different feel to it. I had said something to Triland, that I was done. And then I actually had energy running through the church. I had like this river of peace. A Father's peace and love just running through for the couple days, just because it just felt really stagnant in there, and it just needed a different kind of energy. But that energy isn't necessarily, it'll be there, but it's not going to stay. So there was two parts. Is one was removing the souls from the church, but then the second part is that we actually have to work on the flesh that's there, the souls that are still there in the church. So that's what Atmos and I are going to be working on. It's working on the people. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you. The other thing that happened in this congregation was that the church bought an existing church building from a different denomination, and a lot of these souls that were there were members of this original church. And I think that because they were lied to and told, once you die, you go to heaven, they were ticked off, and that's why they stayed. And because of that energy, there was always this negative chaos in the congregation. And when we would walk in, it was like walking through pudding. It was very thick and very heavy, and there was such an unrest. And I'm thankful that Atmos and Starlight have figured out what's going on. These souls are not there. And now they're going to work on the souls and flesh, because they have so many guests that are coming in now, and no one is taking the initiative to teach these guests. Well, this is the way that we do things in the congregation, that if you leave the congregation during the service, you stay out until the officiant breaks or the choir sings. And it's just this constant up and down and rotating door, and kids, nobody goes to the parents of the children that are being unruly and says, could you take them to the mother's room, please? Because nobody wants to offend anybody. I have news for everybody on this team that in time there's going to be this influx after I'm announced, where people are going to just walk in off the street because they know of my existence, they know of the New Apostolic Church, and they're going to want to know how they can become part of the bride. At that time, it's the responsibility of all of us guardians and the apostles, which I will tell them, that we are not allowing every spirit that's in this world into the church. I'm sorry. It's our responsibility to teach these people. And if they want to stay, there's order. Because I got news for you. There is no chaos in heaven. Father doesn't put up with that. So why should we hear? And if we're not going to take the time to teach these people what it is to be New Apostolic, we are doing them a disservice. So if you're in your own congregation and you see this kind of activity taking place, I give you the authority to be kind, okay? We will always do everything out of love. There's no reason why you can't go to that person or member and say, you know what, could you please take your child out? Or please don't come back in until the choir sings. Even Starlight said, do you have a problem with me standing outside in the foyer and me preventing people from coming into the sanctuary? I said, no, if you do it out of love. Because I know that the brothers in that congregation, they're not going to do it. And eventually what's going to happen is those brothers are going to see somebody else doing it, and they might catch on. There will be some drastic changes that take place after I'm announced. There's going to be a complete reschooling of all the brothers and the ministries that they carry, that they understand what their responsibilities are. And I'm sorry, if someone is offended that we're trying to tell them that you can't be this way, then we're doing them the best service we can, because when they get to heaven, Father's not going to have a line where they can complain to him and tell them what they think. It's just not going to happen. Okay? So it's our responsibility as a team to protect the bride of Christ. So what does that mean, my dear friends? We don't let every spirit into Father's house. We don't. And it starts with us. We are the front line. Does anybody have any questions about that?
So is that like if someone walks off the street and they have something in them and we can sense that, do we have the right to tell them to leave whatever they have inside them at the door and still invite
No.
them in? Or
you let them come in, and because you've already set up a protection barrier with your leads and the grounds are protected, nothing foreign's going to be allowed into the church as far as a demon is concerned. But there might be some rogue spirit that comes in with them. It's at that time that if you feel that, you pog them.
Okay.
And remove it from them. We're never going to forbid anybody, and we're never going to be that upfront. Hey, you got some creepy spirit in your space? Please don't come in. Could you imagine? You cannot talk like that to anybody, okay? No, please don't do that. All right.
I'm going to need some help.
It's the gentle nudging of understanding.
Okay.
I'm going to need help, Starlight, learning how to tell people to behave in love, because I'm not good at that. I'm a little bit too blunt. I'll just be honest about it.
Just work in humbleness. Be humble.
Hey, I
they didn't hear you, hon.
I can be humble, but I mean, humbleness has nothing to do with it. It's the lack of respect that and of lack of reverence that it sends me over the edge, and I don't deal with that situation well.
So my father, as I've been a professional doorman for many years, and my father taught me. He said, you've been given the shepherd's crook. The shepherd's crook is not used to beat the sheep. It's to draw them in. The shepherd's crook is to beat the wolves. And so what we're dealing with is souls, dealing with love. And so serve in love and in humbleness. And that is the place that you have to come from, and that is where we all have to come from, because the war, the battles, and destruction, that's not for the members in the congregation. It's not for the ministers to deal with. Our job is not to beat down the souls and not beat down the ministers. Our job is to protect the bride of Christ. So we have to be servants. We have to serve in love. We have to serve in humbleness and compassion and with hope. Because the major problem that we're having in our congregations is that there is not a soul work going on. It's a stance of there are people that are telling other people that you're not good enough. Why is it that our congregations aren't full? I can go down the street and there's another church and they're full. They've already had 4 services already and they're probably working on their 5th. So it's not the fact that people don't want to know about salvation in God and Jesus. It's what is it that draws people in? It's love, compassion, humility.
Correct.
Wow.
Well, I never thought of it that way.
Wow.
I've never experienced any of that going into church, so that's why I'm saying I need help. I've never been able to really truly experience that, I don't think. If I have, maybe somebody pointed out, and maybe I missed it, but...
Well, that's the thing. We haven't experienced it, so we need to bring it there. we need to show them.
Right. Well, yeah, we need to learn. I personally need to learn how to do it first. And I'm just bold and up front. I say things the way they are instead of, I don't want to say sugarcoating them, but, you know,
no,
saying it in a more loving way. So.
Right.
But
right.
That's what it feels like to me, because I've always been told, speak your mind and say it how it is. So I need to learn how to soften that to be more loving. I just don't know how to do that yet.
We will.
You're going to be a dad soon. It'll happen naturally.
I was just going to say, when that baby's born.
Oh, okay.
Exactly right.
I'm good then.
When you see your wife who will soon be the mother of your child, I mean, practice it beforehand, but your heart is about to open in ways that you've never experienced before, a love you've never even seen. And so perhaps tap into that, because what's about to happen for you in a month or so is something that can't even be described, but I assure you, when it comes to understanding love. And then once you have that son in your hands, perhaps when you're trying to figure out how to deal with people, imagine dealing with him every time you see someone. So instead of seeing them as sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, see them as this, your son, this infant, this helpless child of God that needs your direction, your strength, your truth, but yet your love, your humbleness, your patience, and humility.
Got it. That makes good sense.
Yep.
I'll work on that. Thank you.
Okay. The last thing I want to discuss with you is the tasks that take place before every divine service. We call it a binded sweep. In the past, you've told your leads that they're the ones that are supposed to take care of this. I would like to now put the onus and responsibility on you personally, that what you will do is you will command your lead to let you know when the bind and sweep starts, and then it's their responsibility to let you know when it is complete. For a long time now, my lead, Stotherian, will just tap me on the shoulder. He'll put his hand on my shoulder after the threefold in the name is said, and he'll, a few moments after that, he'll say, "We are starting now, sir." And then 10, 15 minutes later, he'll put his hand on my shoulder again and go, "We are finished." Or there's been times where he said, "We are finished with the congregation. We are now moving to the members' homes." I will tell you, last weekend when I was in Schaumburg, I haven't really paid close attention to what really takes place during that moment, and I did. And so instead of listening to the service, I decided I would watch how this was taking place. So I watched, and what happened was there was already a team that secured the building, and then there was demons being held outside the parking lot, and there were cords attached to every single demon, attached to every member. And when the commencement started, the angels inside took their swords and cut the cords, and then the angels outside cut the heads off or drove their swords through the demons until they disappeared. And then an entire team of Light Brigade angels surrounded the congregation physically, and they pogged all at one time. And I never really paid attention before, but my entire body freckled at one point because I knew that's what was happening. And then a few moments later, then Stotherian said, "We are now going into everyone's house." And then I watched as angels rushed into people's homes. They destroyed any evil that was there. And then I had my healing master put together a team that went back through after those homes were cleared, and she created grounding cords out of all the homes to pull all the negativity and evil out that was remaining. So I'm sharing this with everybody because this is not what I would like to happen. In the congregations that don't have a guardian, then I have already assigned a lead angel to take care of those responsibilities on my behalf. They stand in my power and authority. Every altar is protected. This morning, any congregation I go to, just because I'm in your congregation doesn't mean you stand down. All right? I'm going to review. I'm going to watch, and I'm going to look and see if you're doing what I've asked of you. And today, I checked the altar and the cage was still there, and the Holy Spirit was goofing around. He was pretending he was in an electrified fence, so he touched the bar and went, "Ow!" And then Jesus looked at him and went, "Well, you know, if you behave yourself, we might let you out more often, you know." So I want you to be an active participant in this, okay? I don't want you guys to just leave everything on your lead and then assume that everything's being taken care of, all right? So that's now your responsibility. If they're not reporting to you, then you need to have a conversation with them. They're going to report to you. Continue to vet your team. I will tell you, about a month ago, I had this feeling that the angels were still queered, and so I took it upon myself to pog all the angels fathers ever created with the intent that if there was any inkling of evil in any of the ranks, they were destroyed. And I watched as this energy whipped through all the angels and destroyed those evil ones. I am not telling you this to tell you that you're not going to vet your team anymore. You are. But the frequency for us to have to replace an angel from this point forward should be very small. Okay? Does anybody have any questions at this point?
Charlene, how soon can we start preparing? Because I typically start preparing, the space for service and everything prior to me coming, just so that I can pay attention to the service.
I would encourage everyone to be there 30 minutes before the service starts, at least, at a minimum, because then there's not a ton of people that are there yet. You can take a moment and sit in the sanctuary. I know some of you have kids, so that might not be an easy thing for you to do. But if that's not going to happen, then before you leave your house, if you please survey the congregation spiritually before you get there to make sure that everything is in place, that the protection is around the altar, that your angels are standing fast, that the perimeter has been set, that if they have any questions or concerns, they can address them to you at that moment prior to you arriving. If you're going to get there 30 minutes before, you can handle all that while you're sitting there. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We are at an hour now. So I've asked Tranquility to pray after I do this time. I'm sorry. Someone has something to say?
I think that was an echo of you.
Oh, yeah, was it?
I was echoing.
Yeah. All right. You're hearing yourself.
Am I? No, how wonderful. Our next team meeting is Friday, July 15th at 6 p.m. I will pray now, and then Tranquility will pray after me. Okay? Here we go. Kind, loving Father, we come before you and we say thank you first that you have arranged that we could have an hour to talk with our teammates and our friends. You and I speak of them often. You have now given them the new title, Chief Guardian. It is a huge responsibility, Father, that you place on 11 people. But I know, Father, that in the beginning the church was built and established by 12, and then everything moved forward and expanded as it needed to, and that's going to happen with us as well. There are many concerns and cares that rest on the hearts of everybody on this call. And those that could not be on the call, they are connected in spirit with us, and they will listen to the recording later. There are many things that are going to change in the future, Father. We know we have a big concern for the leaders of our church, and that many of them will break away and start their own church as well, and this makes our hearts sad. There are many concerns that rest on our hearts, Father, for ourselves naturally, physically, spiritually, monetarily, within our relationships, within our jobs. Some are looking for new employment. Some are looking for peace, Father, even in their own homes, or somebody is wrestling with the difficulty they have in their own relationship with their loved one. You had told us in the address that you gave us that you will step in, and within the next few weeks, all of that will be set right. That is truly a blessing for us. You will help us, Father, to not have to be concerned with so many monetary things, that we can now as a team focus on all that is spiritual, that we can prepare our hearts for the coming year, that you will give us your love that you have for mankind. You've given it to me, and now I give it to my teammates, that they have love for mankind, that we are able to look beyond the flesh and see these souls the way you do, as imperfect as they are, as annoying as they can be, that we don't stand in judgment of them ever, but that we always realize that we need to love them like you and Jesus do, which is not an easy task for us. It is not our own self-righteousness, Father. It is the disrespect that each human being has for one another that I believe frustrates all of us. It is the lack of respect that they have for you too that upsets us, because you're everything to us. And we know that through these trials that we've lived through, you have given us insight to situations that we will now utilize in the future. We know that we will be mocked and persecuted and ridiculed and made fun of. And our big brother had to endure that for a very long time too. And he came out with a smile on his face and even forgave all those who did him wrong. This morning in the service, we were admonished to love those who hate us. that struck me to the heart. I have been through the ringer, and I have never held a grudge. But, Father, it is not easy to forgive someone or ask you to bless that person that persecutes and ridicules us. But we will do this because our brother has asked this of us. And we pray for courage for the entire team. I pray for an extra strength. Everyone was given 20 times the strength through communion today. It is not something we take for granted, Jesus. It is out of your love and kindness for us that you do this. And it's not because there's going to be some kind of horrible thing that's going to happen this week that you do this for us. It is a building up of our heart and soul to prepare us for when that negativity comes, that we will all stand our ground, and we will do the three tasks that you have assigned to us. We will not waver in any way, Father, to what it is that you've asked of us. We are proud to be guardians. We are humbled that you have chosen us and our loved ones who are in our families, our helpmates, our spouses. And the future we have is bright. We do not have fear anymore, Father, of what should come, because you have given us the confidence through your words and through the experiences that we've been able to share with you. And at any moment or time, Father, during the day, any one of us can come and find you. We can have a conversation with you. That is truly a gift, and we will take you up on that. Provide now your peace for all of us. We ask, Father, where some of us have not been sleeping well, that you will provide an extra rest for us tomorrow, that we can wake to a joyful awakening, that you will help us all spiritually, Father, always maintain and remember who we are, what our task is, and who we fight for, which is you and the Bride of Christ. Provide, Father, anything that we have forgotten. Provide peace now, and according to your will, I ask these things and know how much, Father, we love you and appreciate you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tranquility.
Amen. Kind and gracious Father, we are so thankful that we can come together as a team, that we can come to you, dearest Father, not only with our cares and our concerns, but that we have each other. Dearest Father, perhaps many would make light of this, but we know that to the core we would all defend ourselves, that we are there for each other, that we would help each other in a moment's notice. And for that we are very thankful, because we know that is true friendship. And dearest Father, we are not only here for ourselves, but we are also here for the Bride of Christ. And we know, dearest Father, that that is a great responsibility. And we pray that we may be humble enough, that we may be able to see with spiritual eyes, dearest Father, what you see and what your Son saw. He always saw the good in everyone, even the harlot, dearest Father, who was on the outskirts, who many would have said she deserved what she was to get. And yet he saw something that no one else saw. And we pray that we too can see with those spiritual eyes, that we can see the best in everyone, and that we can act out of loving kindness rather than out of anger or out of disgust, but that we can do everything that we do as a basis out of love. Dearest Father, we pray for our teammates. We are so very, very thankful for them. Dearest Father, I'm especially thankful for all that they have done for our family. It is always so moving when we think about it. And we pray that the love that they have shown to us may be returned to them many fold, because we know that each one of them has their own cares and concerns. And we pray that you'll be kind and gracious and continue to bless them and bless us, and let us continue to be consolidated. And dearest Father, we're so thankful for Triland and Starlight, how it made our hearts be so happy to know that they both have found each other and that they can work well together as a team. And we pray that you may continue to bless their union, dearest Father, that they can provide strength for each other that they need, and that they continue to lead and guide us. And dearest Father, give us advice and help us and counsel us, so that we can help to perfect the bride, dearest Father, which is our biggest task. So we also have the concern for our ministers. Dearest Father, it weighs heavy on our hearts, because we know that it is not that they do not want to believe, but that it is so foreign for them. It is so difficult for them to understand. And we pray, please, already now, open their hearts, open their minds, open their understanding. Let them notice that there is something different about us, and not that we are cocky or vain, but that we have love for the souls and that we want to help them, not that we want to have our own glory or make a name for ourselves, but that we're there to assist them, to help them, to further the work, dearest Father. Please, that's the greatest understanding that they need. And we pray that by our example, we may also be able to help them, and that you will also open their understanding. not only to his father, the chief apostle, the apostles' ministry, but also those who are our blessing bearers, that they can also be enlightened, dearest Father. Please continue to abide with us all, and we pray that we may have a most blessed and wonderful week. And for those of us who are struggling, we pray that you will give us the strength. And once again, we're so thankful that we have each other, and we pray that we may continue to abide in your mind and spirit, that we may use the gifts that we have been given, and that you may continue to bless us. Please continue to abide with us all, dearest Father. Know how much we love you. We're so thankful for all that you have done for us and that which you will do for us. Most humbly and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.